As we all know, there's fighting in Sudan, and this caught very many people off guard. It is close to a month now since the fighting broke out in Khartoum, and many South Sudanese and other foreign nationals continue to flee towards safety. Now, one of the main exit routes is by road to Jodha, and then to Renk, and then to Paluch. Now, among many of those who managed to leave Khartoum and return to South Sudan and to Juba through that route is Samuel Pawan, our very well-known colleague. He's my brother, and he joins me now to share his experience on the road as he crossed with his family. Samuel, I know you're here to update us on the sports, as you usually do.
Oh, yeah.
But before you do that, first, tell me, what was your experience like? How do you feel that you're now back?
Thank you so much, my sister Lucy Kiden, and good morning to all our great listeners this morning. Thanks so much for having me, and I'm happy to be back home. It's my home.
Indeed. Yeah, happy to have you back.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And I would like to first say a lot of thanks to everyone, to all friends that have been asking about me. I've been checking from time to time. A lot of people from our listeners, my colleagues, and
101 FM.
Keeping checking on me through my journey from Khartoum to Jodha, from Jodha to Rang, from Rang to Faluch, then finally to Juba. Sincerely and honestly speaking, it has been a very difficult journey for me and my family, especially for my family. It's first time for them to experience this kind of situation in life. So it was a bit difficult and a shock and very scared for them to take risk, you know, from Khartoum through very hardship way, all the way from Khartoum to Rabak, from Rabak to Jodha, northern part of Jodha, then to southern part of Jodha, which falls inside South Sudan territory, then to Reng, and from Reng to Faluch. It was, as I say, it was really very difficult. Not only my family, but also so many family that I managed to see their sufferings, just like my family also suffered. We managed to arrive in Faluch successfully, but after we have suffered too much
in Faluch. What are some of those things that you went through before you got to Paluch?
Yeah, actually, traveling by road is not easy, and it's very long distance. We pass a lot of so many checkpoints. From Sudan side, the checkpoints that been controlled by the rapid support force, that is Al Barabi Maruf Damasari. They're controlling a lot of checkpoints whereby they check people. They keep asking, they enter into the bus and asking, you know, looking for, like, if there's some soldiers from Sudan fleeing, also trying to.
I can imagine how scared.
They used to come in and ask if you look like a Sudanese, or some of us, of course, you know, we look like Sudanese from, like, Darfur region. So they keep asking, like, if they see you have a brown skin, look like a Darfurian, look like a Sudanese, then they ask you from where you are, if you need to, you know, of course, show yourself and your identities, like if you have ID, passport and everything, then they will allow you go. But for us, it was not very difficult because the bus that we are bordering is also of Sudanese.
Yes.
So when they enter, they ask
you blended in.
Yeah, exactly. Then they go down. They say safe journey, safe travel, and they will put one person in the bus, because ahead for bus. They will take you to the another checkpoint. When you reach there, they check you once. Mm-hmm. So when you reach there, that person will come down and will say, Kalas,
that's nice. That's actually a good thing.
Yeah. Then you pass to another one. They will put another person to that, soldier to another, and that bus, take you to another. Because they have, like, we pass like 7 checkpoints. And that's actually the checkpoints where they check very thoroughly. They go into the bus, they see, they check everything.
Wow.
So for us, it wasn't bad. It was okay. But just we have, of course, the distance is very long. Well, by the time we reach to Jodha, we are already tired, especially the kids.
Wow.
You can't tabanish it.
I'm going to ask you, as a father, looking at your kids going through this, how did it make you feel?
I really felt very sad. Very, very sad to see not only my kids, but so many kids, so many children that I've seen, they're suffering. Some of them could not manage to, you know, to travel this long distance and staying, you know, nothing to help them. Some of them have been suffering, you know, changing of weather with the kids, you know, from here to there. They started suffering and nothing we can do for them because, you know, running, fleeing from war,
you don't have much to go with it,
like, yeah, first aid and everything. So for me, I really felt very sad, and I was like, we cannot do anything because we don't have anything on hand. We can have basic. For me, my wife managed to take some first aid, like Panadol, and you know, dawa bita diarrhea. I managed to help my kids and also other kids that I saw them also suffering, like headache and stomach problem, and flu, you know, changing of weather. My wife was having some of these drugs, so I managed to also give some to the kids that I see, like, also they're suffering and they have nothing completely. But the most difficult part of it is when we arrived in Foloch. That was the worst part, which I felt like, oh my God, what can we do now?
Because what happened?
Yeah, we spent like 6 days in Foloch. During the day, we under the sun. We are sleeping at the open space where there is no enough water, there is no food, there is no nothing to, you know. So the kids are like asking, we are hungry, and Najan, if you are kill, I have money, but nothing to buy. Mafi sugeri, because Norfolk is not the area that people live there. It's a companies of, you know, oil companies, people who are working there, they have their stocks
inside.
So mafi sugeri. Mafi mahal geri, mafi dukan, wow. There's no shop, there's no any place that you can go and buy and give something to the kids. So it was really difficult situation. Moya, Saab, it was humanitarian.
Let me not take you through the experience again, and we'll just stop here. I'm really glad that you're back safely with your whole family, Pawan.
Yeah, I'm too. I'm really very glad, and I'm feeling sorry for people who are still there. The number that I saw there on the left back there is a huge and big number. I don't know how they're going to make it, because I experienced that. For 5 days, four days consecutively, I've been trying to find where, the cargo that I've been going there, bringing
people. It's really hard.
It's really hard to get in that cargo and to get chance of, you know, coming to Juba because of the huge number. More than 8,000 people who are strengthened there, with the, you know, condition that they're in. I believe it's really, really very, very difficult, and people are really suffering there. Well, I'm really feeling sad about the people that I left them back there. I wishing them best.
Yeah, indeed, we wish them the best, as they have hope, as things are being done, and measures are being taken to help them. Well, welcome back, Pawan.
Thank you. Shukran.
And back to Shogol Kalas. What is the stop, the latest in the sports?
Thank you so much. From the world of sports, the latest in the world of sports, we have the National South Sudan National Football League kicked off like 1 day ago. The league is one of the major league under National Football Federation, and it qualifies to the African Champions League. So this edition for 2022-2023 season is the 10th edition of this competition. So it's taking place in Juba and WOW. Juba is hosting two groups, Group B and Group C. All the games will be taking place at Bulug National Training Center, while we have Group A based in WOW, Western Bahr El Ghazali State. Also, the games are going on at WOW, WOW Big Stadium. Last evening in Juba here, there was a very big game between the champion of Eastern Equatoria, from Torit, that is Volcano FC. They played against Almeric FC of Bentiu from Unity State. The game ended 2-0 in favor of Volcano FC, and that is the first game for the two teams in that Group B. The opening match was between Lion Hunters FC of Yei. And Lion Hunters, by the way, they are the newcomers. This is the first time they just qualified from the second division in Yei to Division 1 in Yei.
Wow.
And they won the league.
Wow.
Yes, straight away. They won the league in Yei, and they are representing Yei Local Football Association in this competition. And also, they, of course, managed to win against Nile City FC of Yambio. And Nile City is a giant team in this competition. So, Lion Hunters got their first 3 points in the opening game of the Group B. And yesterday, it was Volcano FC of Torit managed to beat, that is, Almeric FC of Bentiu. 2-0. Mm-hmm. So now in this group, Juba Group B, Volcano FC is leading the group after winning. Of course, they did not concede any goal. They won 2-0, while Lion Hunters won 2-1. That means Volcano is leading because they have clean sheet, winning 2-0. That is a clean sheet. They are on top, leading the Group B now, while Lion Hunters conceded 1 goal because the game ended 2-1 with their opening game of the group with the Nile City of Yambio.
Okay.
So that's about it. Today is off. There is no games happening today. The games will be, of course, tomorrow in both zones, that is Juba and in Wau. In Mundi, the local league continues in the Mundi. We will give full update later. The beat during the sports update for the all sport fans.
Okay. Shukran. Thank you, Pawan, for the update. Have a good day and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much. Likewise.
All right. That is Samuel Pawan there, our colleague. He was in Khartoum during the Sudan conflict when it started, and he managed to get back. It was not a very enjoyable experience. It was not good. As you heard from him, many are still trying to get out of the situation they're in, whether in Paluch or Renk or still in Sudan and other parts of the country. We've also heard that in Bentiu, Unity State, a lot of returnees and refugees are also there. So we continue to pray and hope that they will receive all the needs that they need and find a way to settle, you know, and, you know, make a home as they wait to see what happens in Sudan.